continue tonight in a study in Ephesians chapter 6. And we started Sunday night on the shield of faith. And we'll read from that passage tonight, and then we'll continue in the discussion. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Everyone say, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. If you love him and you love his word tonight, as you're seated, let's give him praise for his word. I give you praise, O God. Your word is forever settled. And we magnify you, O God, and we bless your name and we lift you up. Praise God. Praise God. So then Paul is working this analogy or this metaphor of the armor of the Grecian or the Roman soldier, which was essentially the same, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, loins girded with truth, feet shod in the preparation of the gospel, and the sword of the Spirit. And this works a tremendous typology for us to understand that you can't live for God without being fully armored. You can't be effective, and you probably won't survive on the battlefield of spiritual things without the full armor of God. And so tonight, we're again taking on the idea of the shield of faith. And in the initial scripture there, again, the shield of faith wherewith you are able to quench all. Everybody say all. All the fiery darts of the enemy. The enemy works here. The enemy works in your mind. I know there's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But all of that, the primary portal for communication of spiritual things is in your mind. God has given you a wonderful mind, and you need to engage it and use it. When Paul talks about spiritual strongholds, he lists three things, and those three things are knowledge, thoughts, and imaginations. All of that happens right here, and that's where the enemy comes to you. As he did with Eve in the garden, he will say, God was wrong, or God misled you, or that's really not the way it is. And he moved in her mind, and then the tree made a presentation, and she yielded to the temptation. But tonight, I'm glad the word says that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. He's been taking people captive for 6,000 years now. But there have been those that have stood in the midst of the battle. They've stood strong, and there are a host of them already in glory with God that look over the ramparts of heaven, and they're telling you, you can do this. I did it. We did it. Nobody in this earth is going to be tempted in any way that isn't already proven by somebody that's standing in the portals of glory right now. Somebody there has already been tempted just like you, and they've already made it over to the other side. Somebody has been hurt just like you've been hurt. Somebody's been betrayed just like you've been betrayed. Somebody, and you just fill in the blanks, but they're there and they're looking over and they're saying, yes, you can. Yes, you can. It is true. The word of God is true. You don't have to yield. And so faith then becomes bridge work between where you are and where God wants to take you. Sunday night we were singing, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I've got a promise from my Jesus. It'll be all right. That has to be a banner song in your spirit. I don't know if you saw it, Brother Warren, but as you were singing that Sunday night, there was a visitor lady right up in here, and she just began to weep and weep because the Holy Ghost was speaking to her about something in her life, and she needed that word of hope. You see, if she gets that down in her with that Holy Ghost she got Sunday night, she gets that message of faith down. If she can take hold of that, the devil will lose his power in her life, because he's a liar. When he's telling you how it is, he's lying. When he's telling you how it was, he's lying. When he's telling you what you can or can't do in the kingdom of God, he's lying. He's lying when his mouth is moving. That's exactly right. Well, praise God. So Isaiah 53:1, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You have to believe the report of the Lord before the arm of the Lord can be revealed to you. And so what God does is based on what you can believe. Now, you know that, and you see that borne out all the way through the scripture. If you can't believe God, God's not moving on your behalf. Calvary is there and all the power of it. Pentecost is there. The stripes in his back. Everything he's ever done for anybody. It's all there. It's all present. The promises of God are yes and amen. But that is not to somebody who can't believe God. Okay. So we're going to work on this a little bit tonight. When you quench the fiery darts of the wicked, you have to adopt a mindset. You have to adopt an attitude and get an attitude, a mindset that says God is true. The word of God is all there is. Nothing else matters. Circumstances won't move me. Emotions won't move me. My heart lies to me all the time, but I can't follow after that. I've got to follow after that word of God. The heart is deceitfully wicked beyond imagination. You can't even begin to know it. You got to keep your heart with all diligence. But the word of God never lies. And so we stand. Faith cometh. Where does faith come from? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so faith is rooted in and tied to the word of God and can't be separated from the word of God. Now, people have faith in sports teams and faith in other people and faith in nebulous things of man's creation or imagination. But the faith we're talking about tonight is not some vague hope that something will happen that is common in humanity. We're talking about faith that is rooted in the word of God. Faith that the word says it, now I believe it, and this thing's going to happen. This is going to be just like God said. So it has to be a mindset. And when you have a mindset like that, you create your own reality. Now, that's a dangerous thing. Have you ever met people that create their own reality? And realities converge and they don't agree. And there's all kinds of potential problems there. But there is an ultimate reality. There are ultimate questions and ultimate answers. And all of those are in the reality that is presented by the word of God. It doesn't matter what science says or archaeology. It doesn't matter what the academics say. It doesn't matter what the spirits say or the clerics say or the false prophets say. None of those things are real. Praise God. For a fact, I can tell you a lot of things you experience with your senses are not real. Your five senses will lie to you. But what God says is real. And so faith then creates a reality. And you have a reality of faith, a mindset of faith. With it comes a set of guiding principles, things that we will and will not be involved in, people that we will and will not associate with, places we will and we will not go to, words we will and we will not speak, mindsets and attitudes that we will and we will not adopt. There is a set. In God's reality, there is a set of guiding principles that we walk by. And in that, he guides our paths. In that, he orders our steps. And we say yes to God. Somebody say praise God. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are death. The ways of God are above ours, like the heavens are above the earth. But we still tether ourselves to the ways of God by these guiding principles. It is a framing. It is the way that the word of God frames my mind. Now, you were framed by your mama and by your daddy and by your culture and by the language around you. The reason you speak the language you do is because you were framed by all of those things around you. You were shaped by those things and framed by those things. You have a cultural framing, a social framing. Some of that is worthwhile. Some of that, if you learned in your framing honesty, well, that's gonna sync with the word of God. But if you learn things that are opposed to the word of God, you've got to relearn your culture, your framing, your ideology, your mindset, your gestalt. You've got to have a whole brain change. Well, praise God. When I first came to an apostolic church, somebody told me that those people were brainwashing me. And I thought, that's really good because I needed my brain washed. My brain was full of snakes. I had a problem. I had all kinds of things going on. I mean, I had been face down in a bar puking my guts out. I had sat around in drug dens before. I'd been in all kinds of places good boys shouldn't go. You know? So I needed my brain washed. And here God's principles, by faith, he begins to build you and frame you and shape you. And his kingdom has an altogether different culture than the kingdom outside. If you've been in the church any length of time, and it's the right kind of church, you know we kick down cultural barriers and we kick down cultural mores. God's got his own set of mores and God's got his own set of values. You might have come out of something that valued something that God hates. So you got to turn loose of that and you've got to start. I'm talking about faith tonight, but your faith has to be rooted in the Word of God. It's got to be right with the Word of God or it's not faith at all. Somebody say praise God. And so all of these, my framing, my mindset, my attitude, my gestalt, my worldview, all of that has an attitude that just simply will not tolerate an opposing voice to the Word of God. When a voice comes and starts talking to me about the people of God in a negative way, I bow up. And I know more about the trouble in this church than anybody but God. But I bow up because this is the people of God. These are blood-bought, spirit-filled. They bear the name. Are they perfect? Oh, far from that. Are they messed up? We all are messed up. We came in messed up, and God's working on our mess. And we might not be completely unmessed and before the trumpet sounds, but we're covered by the blood, and we're standing in his righteousness, and he makes us his people. But left to our own designs, we're a mess tonight. Praise God. But we, in this mindset of faith, we look at you as God looks at you. Oh, what God can do with him. Oh, what God can do with her. And we're not going to hear any guff about it. And I don't want to hear a litany of all that's wrong with them because God knows that. He's working on that. We don't have our head in the sand. We work wisely and with consideration for people's tensile strength and for their giftedness and for their weaknesses and all of those things. We take and for the tenure they have in the kingdom of God, we take all those things into consideration. But we don't want to sit down and focus on what is not. We're talking about what is. God calls those things that are not as though they were. God speaks the language of faith. And so we've got to speak that language. Who has believed the report of the Lord? Whose report will you believe? Come on. We shall believe the report of the Lord. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anybody just feel some crazy faith in your system tonight? Anybody just believe God for anything? I know some of you have problems, but somebody needs to stand up in the middle of that problem and say, you know, I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know God's going to bring me out. I don't know how he's going to do this all, but I know God has an answer. God has a solution. Somebody with pain in your body, lift up your voice and say, God is a healer. Somebody that's in trouble right now, say, God is a deliverer. Somebody with a relational problem right now, say, God is well able. Come on, open your mouth and speak what God has said. Say what the Word of God has said. Listen, when you say what God says, you are marked. You are marked. The angels know who you are. The devils know who you are. God knows who you are. When you say what God says, you become like Joshua and Caleb, who stand out among the spies simply because of what they said. Simply because of what they said. They spoke the language of faith. Praise God. So tonight, for just a few minutes, and we're going to stop right at 8 and have a word of prayer and go over to the fellowship. But let's entertain Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of fame of faith. Everyone say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And this is where we talked about its bridge work, from where you are to where God's going to take you, from what you see to what God sees, from what you know to what God knows. And here, let me emphasize this again. Cannot overemphasize this. The thing that kills most people in their experiencing God is simply that they worry too much about the details. Because if you ever start thinking about all the reasons why you can't walk on water, you won't ever walk on water. But if you just say, oh, he said it, let's get out of the boat and go. If you do that, you may have a Peter-like experience where you actually see the miracle of God. Praise God. Faith is bridge work. It is substance. It is the next plank that your foot falls on when it looks like you're going to walk on air. It's the next stone in the path that God lays before you. And so faith is substance. And he goes on, faith is evidence of things not seen. Well, how can you believe that? Because it's real. It's got greater substance than the earth and the heavens. Because the heavens and the earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. No, you really got to get that. I know this world feels pretty solid, but this world is not nearly so solid as his word. The stars look pretty imposing and eternal, but they are flimsy tinsel compared to his word. You just need to have in your mind that when the whole universe is consumed with fervent heat, we're going to be riding the word of God like a surfboard out in the middle of nothing, making our way into the next chapter of what God's going to do. But it's kind of an adventurous idea, isn't it? And it's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the timid. Faith is real. Everybody say, faith is real. Turn to your neighbor and tell him God's word is true. Now shake him a little bit and say, I said God's word is true. No, it really is. You know, faith is evidence. It is admissible in the highest court. Praise God. I'm not talking about the Supreme Court or a federal district court. I'm talking about the court where the great judge is. Faith is evidence that is admissible there. I may not have the money to do what I need to do, but I've got faith that God owns it all, and I'm just going to step right out and do the right thing. I've actually had people tell me I can't afford to pay my tithes. And I don't even know how to frame that in English. It's like, where do we start with that idea? What you've just told me is that faith is not evidence. That what you see is evidence. That what you can count is evidence. And you're also revealing something about your heart. You're telling me you really don't believe that the barrel increased and that the little widow never went without. You don't believe that the oil didn't stop. You don't believe that the meal didn't stop. You don't believe that he broke that little piece of bread and that fish and it just kept breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking and 5,000 people got fed. You don't believe that because you believe what you see there, the one little loaf and the few little fishes, and you don't think he can feed a multitude with just a little bit. Praise God. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's uncomfortable, but When you fail to embrace faith, you restrict God. When you lose faith, you lose God. When Jacob is wrestling with the angel, who is really a theophany, really is God, he's wrestling with the angel. And the angel is saying, God is saying, let me go. Let me go. It's really a bigger conversation than the wrestling match. Beneath the surface, he has said, why don't you let me go and let me be God? Let God arise and let your enemies be scattered. Why were they having that wrestling match? Because Jacob was afraid of Esau. Because he thought in his imagination that Esau was coming to kill him, which one was not true, and two was not possible because now he was the anointed of God, and Esau could not, with an army of a million, overwhelm Jacob. But Jacob did not walk in who he was and what he was called to be. Isn't it ironic? He fought and he schemed and he lied and he did everything he could to get that anointing and get that old man to lay his hand on his head and have the blessing of God. And then he was so timid he wouldn't walk in it. Here you have the Holy Ghost and here you have the name of Jesus, name above every name, the only name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved, placed on your life. The word of God is in you. The promise of God is in you. And if you sit back timidly and don't walk in that, then all the power of God sits dormant, untapped, unrealized, unactualized. But God's looking for somebody tonight that'll just step out. It doesn't have to be a king with a name and a title and a throne. It can be a kid with a sling and a rock. If he can just find somebody that'll step out in faith, God is yet God. He's yet able. The word of God is true. Now, come on. We're not just doing church. Well, this thing is real. This thing is real. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. Faith is real. This thing is real. The miracles are still real. The healing is still real. Power of God is still real. Word of God is still real. We're not just doing church, doing our time on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, doing our time, doing those things, clapping our little hands and lifting our, we're not doing that. We are walking in an adventure with the mighty God of creation who wants to take this world by storm and shake people and fill them with his spirit and turn kingdoms upside down. He wants to do all of those things. He's just looking for somebody that'll say, you know what? I believe God will do what he said. I believe God will do what he said. Somebody needs the shield of faith active and working in your life tonight. Praise God. For by it, verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Are you okay? All right, we're just doing Bible study. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith is connected with our heritage. You're not standing by yourself in a time in a, on a timeline, just this little spot all by yourself, an island disconnected from anything else. But faith ties us to a heritage. We're tied to the patriarchs and to the prophets and to the champions of faith throughout the Old and the New Testament. We're tied to the apostles. We're tied to every biblical revival that ever took place. And all of that, as it was true then, is true here and true now. We're tied to every mighty prayer that was prayed in the Word of God. We're tied to all those things by faith. Faith is the common denominator. In every dispensation, there's been different things to do and different ways to make your way to God. But faith is a common denominator that runs through all of those dispensations. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. How did they survive in God? They just believed God. How did they succeed in their calling? They believed God. How did they do what God had called them to do and stand in the middle of fierce opposition? They believed God for what he said he would do for them. It's our connection with the elders from times past. The writer in Hebrews declares, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There are witnesses all along the timeline of the kingdom of God in every dispensation that have walked in places of tremendous challenge and have overcome great obstacles by faith, just simply not because they were stronger or brighter or had better natural resource, not for any natural reason, but because they believed God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Does anybody here just really believe God? You really do believe him for what he said? Well, praise God. Verse 3, and this will probably be our last installment for tonight. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, how many of you were taught otherwise in school? Did anybody get instruction in school that the worlds were framed by God? Well, one or two of you, and you went to really weird schools because in the last century, they haven't taught that much. But we, through faith, understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, I love looking out at the stars at night. I love nature, but I really like looking at stars and at the moon and all. I'm just so totally impressed with what God has done. And it just blows my mind to consider our galaxy is one of billions of galaxies. and that in our galaxy there are billions of stars. And so there are billions and billions of stars. And I can't even think a billion. Now, the federal government has no trouble spending a billion or a trillion or anything else, but that's another conversation for another day. But it doesn't mean anything to them because it's not their money, it's your money. Oh, okay. By the way, you're in debt. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God so that, and this is peculiar, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What you see around you is not primary. That's what that means. What is primary is spirit. In the beginning, God. So God then, who we learn in John 4 and 24, is spirit. God is first. God has primacy, and God is spirit. So then spirit is primary. So when you look for answers, ultimate answers, when you look for strength, when you're looking for a place to stand, when you're looking for an answer, when you're seeking after something that you really, really need, the core of it will always be spirit, will always be spirit. Now, you might think that that problem on the job needs a natural solution. But I want you to back up a second and realize that the thing that you see was not made from things which do appear, but it emerged from the world of the spirit. And so you have greater strength to address natural problems in your experience in the spirit than you do in your experience in the natural. You know, for you to spend 20, 25 minutes in the morning praying about your job and your interaction and your safety and your health and all the things that you're going to walk through in the course of a day has greater power than all the apprenticeship and expertise and training that you get. Now, don't misunderstand me. Get all the training you can. Go to school, get as many degrees as a thermometer. Get all that you can get and be great in all those areas. But don't ever forget that the things that you're working with did not emerge out of a natural setting. They emerged out of the spirit. So the power of origin and the power of primacy and the power of a first instance is with things that are spiritual. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, which is spirit, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Isn't it amazing? The stars are there because the word of God went out of his spirit. Let there be, and there was. Can you hitchhike on that idea and catch a ride on the idea that your prayer is probably the most powerful thing in your life? That God does everything by spoken word, by prayer, and by prophecy? And people spend their whole day working hours and hours and hours and striving and seeking and all that and give God a little measly 15 minutes in prayer. But in eternity, I'm going to tell you, you'll look back and realize that the real power in your life was the power of prayer and the power of proclamation and the power of prophecy, because the things that are didn't come from the things that are. It came from something that you can't see. And prayer and prophecy are a portal, a place where the natural and the spiritual world engage, and God has given you that privilege, that power. Oh, it's 8:00. Let me fudge just a moment. Let me show you that prayer and faith are one and the same. The little woman and the unjust judge, Luke 18. It's a parable. There was a woman, a little widow, an unjust judge. She went to him. This is a story about prayer, because it starts, I would that all men would pray everywhere and faint not. I would that men would pray always and faint not. Don't stop praying. Then he tells a story, which is a story now about prayer. The little woman is the prayer. The unjust judge is the prayee. He is in this story the figure of God, because she's coming to him to pray. And she prays and she prays and she prays, and he won't even look at her. He won't listen to her. But finally she wears him down, and he says, I'm not afraid of anybody or anything, but this woman is wearing me out. And he gives her what she needs. Then Jesus says, how much more will God, though he bear long with them, will God answer quickly his children that are praying to him? He said, but when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Will anybody still be praying like that? Here I am again, God. I know I've come at you 300 times about this, but here I am again. And I'm just going to keep knocking, because in Luke chapter 11, you told me, just keep on knocking, just keep on knocking, just keep on knocking. And here I am. I'm like the little widow woman. I'm going to drive you batty. I'm going to be here. I'm going to lay a stone at a time. Every day I'm going to lay a stone of remembrance here. And before it's over, there's going to be a mountain, a memorial here, where you're going to have to ask the angels, who's piling up all these rocks in my throne room? But it's that crazy person from Birmingham that just keeps on praying and keeps on praying. And finally he says, I've got to do something about this. I've got to answer this. I don't know how God expects us to respond to that idea that he's like the unjust judge. But I will tell you, the teaching there is pray, keep praying, because your prayer and your faith are synonymous. No prayer, no faith. Great prayer, great faith. That's just an analysis. That's all that is. Praise God. Oh, I'm going to quit. We were about to talk about atheists and their faith. Because atheists operate by faith. Because out at the end of all they can tell you, I just give them all the time in the world to tell me all the reasons why they think there was just natural gas and dust out there that blew up. And then I say, where did that come from? And out at the end of the discussion, you always arrive at a place of faith. But our faith is not a stupid faith. Theirs is hopeless and stupid. But ours is an intelligent faith. And we'll get into this next time we're together. Because the Word of God has set me up. It told me things from ages past that would come to pass in the earth. And I see those things as signs and wonders, and faith is ignited by the prophecy of the Word of God. It is an intelligent faith. Let's stand together, clap our hands unto God, and bless his name. God is so good. We bless your name, O God. We praise you, mighty God. We worship you, Lord God, and thank you. Ah, we magnify your name, O God. Blessed be the name above every name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. It's so good to see you on a Wednesday night, and hope that everybody will come over and have some time of fellowship and breaking of bread. Brother Kenny Avery, would you pray for our food, please? Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody be blessed, and go on over and have a good time of fellowship. If you're a guest here, please come and join with us. We'd love to get to know you a little better.